Shiseisei lamelchoma alevecho. So Sefer says that this is a remez to the Mechimas HaYetzer. You know, people believe that if they just live through an Elul passively, then somehow or another they'll be, you know, they'll be inspired somewhere down the line and things will just click into place. Says Ksav Sefer, no, Kiseitse la Mulchoma Alevecho, if you actually go out actively to make Mulchoma Alevecho on your son, the Yetzahara, then, V'nason Hashem Lekecha B'yadecha, Kodesh Baruch will help you. Habola Tahir Messiah Nisi. A person comes to do a Tihu, a person wants to be Tahir himself, Kodesh Baruch will help them. A person just sits back and lets El just roll over their head, and somehow they'll be better, nothing will happen. So I want to focus this week's parasha on a very, very interesting theme. Follows through many, many mitzvahs. In other words, this parsha seemingly has a lot of unattached mitzvahs, but there's a theme that runs all the way through the mitzvahs, and if you get them clear and you understand it, there's a gewaldiger piece. Okay, listen to this carefully. The Zayin HaTorah says that this, Ki seisim v'chom alevecho. This is a parasha dealing with a yifas toya, okay? Yifas, you know what yifas toya is? A person goes to war, and they find at war, as the Zayin HaTorah puts it, a beauty queen. Yeah,
English.
Yeah, a malkat hayofi. Right. Finds a beauty queen, and he brings her back as his trophy of war, and the parasha describes a process that this woman has to undergo, geirus to a certain form, leaving her, disconnecting from her, and then, when the passion and the desire and everything else has calmed down, the shaila is whether he can take her as a wife, and if he wants to take her as a wife, he can never send her away again, he can never sell her as his wife. Okay? If he doesn't, he can send her away. If he doesn't want to take her back, he can send her away. Does not need a get, he can send her away. But he's not allowed to sell her. Okay? That's the parasha. The next parasha talks about Ki siyena le'ish shtei noshim. And then it talks about Ben Sayra and Meira. So what's the connection between the parashas? Rashi explains that there's a connection. If a person takes a yifas toya, don't think for one moment that's going to bring happiness to your life. A yifas toya is going to bring the next parasha of Ki siyena ishtei noshim ha'achasu v'achasno. It's going to bring hatred between the man and his wife. And what will come out from this marriage? A Ben Sayra and Meira. In other words, it's a process. Yifas toya, senua, hatred in marriage, and then ben sayra meira. Asks the Zayin HaTorah two questions. Why does the Torah give us this introduction? Ki seitzei l'melchoma alivecho, you're going out to melchoma, unasonoi Hashem alikecho biyodecho, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you, and will give the enemy into your hands, v'shavisa shivyoi, and you get a shevi, and you get back somebody who is captured. What's this whole introduction? Just say, Ki seitzei l'melchoma, v'reisa v'shivyoi, eish yifas toya, you're going out to war, and you found that yifas toya, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped you, and you won the war, and you, why is that negeya to yifas toya? What happens if you didn't win the war? It just happened to be that you escaped with the skin of your teeth, and you came back home, and you have yifas toya. The lochas don't apply. What's the percent? Number one. Number two, we know, L'chol HaTorah Kula, that there's a concept of middle connected middle. You act one way wrong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will act to you the same way. You act one way good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu act with you the same way. What's a middah connected middah of a person taking a fast toya and ending up with a ben sayra meira? What's the connection? What's a middah connected middah there? Says the Zayin HaTorah, and this by the way is the key to understanding many mitzvahs in the Torah which we'll see in this parasha. A person went out to war and he knows his chances are slim of ever coming back alive. And if he does come back alive, he may be injured, he may be crippled, he may be suffering from mental flashbacks. Who knows when a person comes back to war what's happening here? And here we're talking about Ki seitzei l'melchoma alevecho, you went out to melchoma, unasonoi Hashem alekecha biyadecho, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you victory. Hashem ish melchoma, Hashem made the melchoma for you, Hashem gave you success. And not only did he come back alive, he came back with a trophy. you came back with this Malkat HaYofi. You came back with this Yafastaya. That's what you came back with. What should your thoughts be then? What should your thoughts be? During Mulchama, there's a heat of war, there's passion, there's, you've gone crazy. But when you come back, and you settle back home, and everything's back, you got back to Daf Yemishe, you're back to Davin three times a day, and you got this woman there in your home, everything. Now what should you be thinking? Baruch Hashem! I came back home, a Kodesh Baruch Hu helped me. Without a Kodesh Baruch Hu, where would I be? And therefore, what should you do? You should take your Yetzirah and shecht it. And say, Rebbeinu Shleilam, I can't bring korbanos, but what I can do is, I can be makriv my particular taiva. The Gemara says, kol zaveach es yitzroi, umisvada olav. Anyone takes his Yetzirah and shecht it, ki ilu kibdula kodesh baruch hu beisei lomis. As if you respect the kodesh baruch hu in both worlds. Gemara says, Sanhedrin, mem gimel. And therefore, now you have your fast toya. Do you think that Rebbeinu Shleilam wants you to have your fast toya at home? Is that going to increase Yerushalayim in your home? Are you going to have a home, you're sitting around a Seder table, with your kittel, and your beautiful hand matzahs, and you have your fast toya there? It doesn't look good. It's mutter, but that's what Rabbeinu Shlomo wants. Take her, throw her out, get rid of her. He doesn't, he keeps her. What is he doing? He's missing the point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has helped him. He has not seen, he has not registered with him correctly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has helped him. He has not acknowledged the fact that Rabbeinu Shlom has given him victory. And therefore he's held on to this Yifas Toya, even when he knows deep down it's not the correct thing to do. When a person is disloyal, if when a person is not Makir Rabbeinu Shlom correctly, every bad thing can happen. And therefore Rabbeinu Shlom gives him a Ben Soira Moira. What's a Ben Soira Moira? A parent go through a pregnancy, a parent goes through a birth with a mother, a father looks after his child, pays for his schooling, pays for his clothing, pays for his food, pays for his housing, does everything. And what does the child do? The child takes a father's meat, perfectly mutter, glatt kosher meat, perfectly mutter. What am I doing wrong? I'm not doing any avarice. And takes it and abuses the father, does not recognize, does not listen to the father and the mother. Exactly like his father did. His father, this man who came back from war, perfectly mutter. Look at Shulchan Aruch says, I can take a Ben Soira Moira. Yes, but are you listening to what your father wants? Are you listening to what Rebbeinu Shlomo wants? Is that really what he wants? Or are you just saying, listen, what am I doing wrong? Show me what I'm doing wrong. See, every child does exactly the same. He takes meat and wine, that's kosher. He takes it from his father, yeah, not stealing from somebody else. And he takes it, it's perfectly mutter, what's wrong with this? And he does it exactly like his father did and does not listen to his father. Ben Soira Moira is a creation of somebody who brought into his home the element of having the Rebbeinu Shleilam, known as Rebbeinu Shleilam, but I turn my back and I'm not loyal to him. I'm not following through with what I should be doing. That is a concept of this week's parasha. The idea is, what I want to go through now, a few mitzvahs, is all the same idea. The same idea is learning loyalty. Learning that somebody has done something good to you. When somebody is kind to you. When somebody is a native to you. To chas v'shalom not turn your back. And if one learns that ben odom l'chaveroi, certainly that will teach us ben odom l'mokoi. The parasha carries on. The parasha says, V'hoyim loichel fatzda boy. Listen to this gewaldige remesha. V'hoyim impossible yudalad. V'hoyim loichel fatzda boy. What happens if you didn't want to spend Soira Moira? V'shilachto l'nafsho. The pasuk said, Rabbi said, yeah, there's chumashim over here. V'shilachto l'nafsho, you should send her out. U'mocho loisim kere kosef. Do not sell her. Loisis ame bo tachas ashe niso. Do not sell her. Rabbi said, listen to this very carefully. Who is this woman? What status is she now? After she's been through this bochsa, v'yos, of obvious amount, who is she? Is she Jewish or is she not Jewish? What is she? According to Chazal, she's already gone through a geirus. Now, what happens, or a semi-geirus at least, right? What happens if I sell her as a shivcha knanis? Will she be keeping mitzvahs?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I sell her to another yid, she has to keep the mitzvahs. What happens if I don't sell her to another yid and I let her go back to where she came from? What are the chances of her keeping Tiramisu? Zero. Or come out zero. She's been taken temporarily out of her comfort zone. Now she's going back to her father's home. Her father's a goy. She's a yid. What's she going to do? She's going to start some of Veda Zara again. Mm-hmm. So how can I allow her to go back to where she came from? Other rabbi. Keep her. Make her a shivcho. If you don't want her as a shivcho, sell her to not somebody else. Somebody else should have a shivcho kananis, and they'll keep her Jewish. How did Torah say, no, send her out? If you send her out, she's going to go off the derech. I'm responsible. What's going on over here? How can I do that? Says Ramosha, listen to this sharper voice. Says Ramosha that it's better to be responsible for a person serving Avodah Zorah than having bad midas. You've taken her. She expected you to marry her. You treated her as a wife for a certain time. There was a respect. There was even a love. Call it that, infatuation. But there was some kind of relationship here. And then Eli didn't want her. He's just going to toss her out and sell her as a shivcha now. Where's your loyalty? Where's your kor satoiv? There's been a bond here. You can't just get rid of that. So what's the option? Sending her out free and letting her serve Avodah Zorah? Yes, that's not your problem. But what your problem is having bad midas. You can't turn around and allow her to go back and to sell her as a shivcha when you have been ne'eneh from her, when you've benefited from her, when you've had a relationship with her. You cannot just get rid of her, chuck her out like that. You can't do that. That is worse than sending her out and eventually she will choose to serve Avodah Zorah. That is a koyach. That's how bad midas is. To neglect your responsibilities to somebody that you benefited from is so terrible, worse than Avodah Zorah itself. Let me go a stage further. End of the parasha, Perek of Talid, the pasuk talks about divorce. Okay, talks about divorce. The pasuk says, "Kikach ish isha bala v'hoyam since chen be'ino," and he marries her, and she does not find chen in his eyes. Ki motzba erev astova. He writes for the Sefer Krisus, gives it into her hands, and sends her out. This is the din of Gerushin. Okay? The Gemara says in the end of Gittin, at what stage is a man allowed to divorce his wife? At what stage? What does he have to do and find in her that he should be allowed to divorce her? Now let's understand, let's get the backdrop of the last Vatira. The last Vatira is a shifra. It's a shiksa that you found in war. And you blindly took her in your craziness, you took her back home. What's the halacha? There's a whole ways of how you're supposed to send her out and give her that respect for that short time that they were together. This is a Bas Yisrael. This is a Jewish girl, a Beis Yaakov girl. Came from a good home. Wonderful, everything is fantastic, right? You married her. You went through a shidduch. You got the night of the chasna. Yeah? You had sheva brachas together. You may have had a few kids, right? And what happened? When can you divorce her? Says the Machlekes Tanoim. One man, the Oma, says, "Afilu, Beisilu said, Afilu hikdichay tavshilu. Even if she burnt his toast, she burnt the cholent, that's it, you're out. Finish, get out of here. You burnt the cholent, that is good grounds for divorce." Rebbe Akiva, yeah, his wife 24 years, you know, all that. Rebbe Akiva, "Afilu motza acheres nohemeno." Even if you find somebody else that looks better than her, you have a right to divorce your wife if you find a new and improved version. That's it, get rid of her. Gemara, Gittin Daf Tzadi Omad Aleph. A pella, this Gemara is a pella. Ask Yachid Kamenetsky, how can the Torah allow you to do such a thing? We're talking about loyalty. We're talking about Korah Satoiv. We're talking about being a mensch. How can it possibly be that she makes a mistake, she burns a tavshil, that is grounds for divorce? That's it. Scratched your car, get out. Yeah? You find not even that. She did nothing wrong, but she's aged. Right? And now you want a new and improved version. That's it, you can divorce her. How can the Torah allow you to do that? This is completely goes in the face of everything that we stand for. How can one do that? And people do that, by the way. I mean, yeah? So what's the idea? How is that possible? Listen to this thought. It says, Yaakov Kamenetsky, what the Gemara is asking, when can you divorce your wife, is not looking for sibos. It's not looking for reasons why you divorce your wife. It's looking for simanim, when the marriage is not going well. Looking for signs that the marriage isn't going well. Says of Yaakov, marriage is supposed to be such that we learn it from Adam and Chava. Adam could have easily been by himself, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have created the Chava. But plenty HaKadosh Baruch Hu is created more sophisticated than the Chava. And what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Took off a limb of Adam and created the Chava. Why? Why? Short of a few limbs. What's the idea behind that? Says Yaakov Kamenetsky, the idea is because a marriage is supposed to be viewed as two parts of the same person. You're supposed to be a bond. Vahoya bosa echol. It's supposed to be one person. Ishtoi kagufoi. A woman's supposed to be like the chelik of the husband herself. If a man, let's say a man saw and said something stupid. He says something stupid. Yeah, he really put his foot in it. He really upset somebody. He messed up. Is he going to start? What's he going to do to his tongue? Start beating his tongue, burning his tongue, yelling at his tongue. What's he going to do? Why? Because the tongue is a chilek of him. Don't stop beating your tongue. That's who you are. It's a chilek of you. He says, if a person gets upset with his wife that she did something wrong, it's like getting upset with your tongue that it did something wrong. Is a raya, not a reason, it's a raya, it's a proof that you've missed the point of marriage. A person does not get upset with himself. They get upset with somebody else. If you are getting upset, means you're treating your wife as a different entity. If you're treating this wife as a different entity, you've missed the point of marriage. You know what? Forget it. Let's stop the marriage. Send her out. You're not a person. You're not worthy of marriage. If a person, you know, he looks at his hand and he sees his hand, you know what? It doesn't look that great. You know, it's a little bit wrinkled here. Maybe I should chop it off and find another hand. You maybe get a prosthetic. Yeah, it looks much nicer. You ridiculous? Are you crazy? Are you crazy? If a man, a woman, a wife says, Yaakov Kamenetsky is supposed to be in your eyes the most beautiful, the most clever, the most talented, the best cook even. Yeah? As far as you're concerned, there's nobody better. If you go on the street and see somebody who looks better than you, you've missed the point of marriage. Marriage is seeing yourself in your wife, becoming one to such an extent that you don't look, you know, you don't look at if someone looks better than you, and if someone does look better than you, because I'm tired, but you're not going to look at yourself any less because of that. You're not going to start making changes in yourself. No, maybe she got a new head. Unfortunately, today people, yeah, get nose job. Fine, but you don't look around the whole time and see it. If a person looks around and says, wow, you know, there's a noim in men, or there's an issue which is more noim, you've missed a point of marriage. So therefore it's a siman. The Torah is telling me, if you've missed a point of marriage, you know what? Maybe marriage isn't for you. Maybe you just posh it on rotly to understand the concept of marriage. And therefore, break it up. Nebuch. You're Nebuch. Of course, there's other options as well. There's options of putting yourself together and working on a marriage and to make it bosa echod. But if a person's going around and he comes to the soup getting burnt, he starts yelling, is seeing that the woman is not part of himself. He's not seeing his wife as a part of his tongue. Yeah, it's not the same body. If that's the case, it's a raya, marriage isn't going well. And therefore, this is again the concept of loyalty. Torah demands of a man, of a Jewish man, when he has a marriage, to so much become loyal to his wife, to look at her as being a part of himself. And just like if he himself would do something wrong when you yell at himself, you don't yell at your wife. It's a chelik of who you are. That is a loyalty. Complete a switch of exactly what we're thinking. Let's move on. The same thing we find later on in Perek Chof Dalet, Pasuk Yud Aleph. This is a mitzvah of giving back a mashkin. The Torah says that if a person lends somebody money, you're allowed to take a mashkan, you're allowed to take a collateral. Says the pasuk, however, the certain halachas, ki sashe brecha masas mu'uma, lo yisovei al beisoi lavo tavoitoi. Yeah, he must not go to his house to take his clothing. Bachutz tamid, he should stand outside. V'ho'ish ashe atanoi sheboi, yoytzi leches avoita chutzah. And the man who you lent money to should take it outside, avoita chutzah, take it outside. Then ish onihu, lo yisishka avoita. If it's an ish oni, only has one, then you must not sleep in it. Hoshe toshe, give him back the avoit. Asks again, the Zayin Matera, why does it say, what's Peshat over here when the Pasuk says, B'chutz tamoid v'ho'ish? Look inside. B'chutz tamoid v'ho'ish. And you stand outside, v'ho'ish. Who's that v'ho'ish referring to? So the Gemara says, B'chutz tamoid v'ho'ish is referring to the Shliach Beis Din, v'ho'ish. B'chutz tamoid v'ho'ish is referring to the Shliach Beis Din. And you put a comma, or b'chutz tamoid, comma, for ish ashat and loishabo, on the man that you're taking from should take it outside. Okay. So the ish is working on both. Either b'chutz tamoid v'ho ish.
This is about the timing.
B'chutz tamoid, in other words, the timing is according to one, yeah. But it's two ways of learning. B'chutz tamoid v'ho ish. B'chutz tamoid stand outside, even if it's v'ho ish, even if it's a shiach based in. Alternatively, v'ho ish ashat and loishabo, the man that you're taking from, etc. Ask Oznai Matera, ish is a choshiva statement. The term ish, ishi kohen gadol, we find in Mishnayos. Dor HaMelech says to Avner, well, ish, right? Ish is a choshev statement. Why are we calling this man who has a debt to somebody else, v'ho ish, and the man, the choshev a man? Why is he choshev? Why are you calling him the ish? The prophet carries on. V'im ish onihu, and if he's an ish onihu, v'im onihu, what's v'im ho ish? Why is he calling him an ish? Listen to this, Rabbi Yisai. This is such a gewaldig avot. Says Osnayim Matera. Because we're talking about Reuven lent Shimon money. Shimon was desperate. Shimon needed money. So he went to Reuven and said, Reuven, please lend me money. Reuven lent him money. He didn't pay back. So what does he do? Shimon goes to Reuven's house and Shimon takes a pekodim from him. He takes a mashkin from him. Okay? But what does Reuven know? Reuven knows that Shimon, the lender, cannot come into his house. Why? He has immunity. Torah does not let him come into his house. So what choice does he have? Poshut to put up the radio, close the curtains, and tell everyone not to answer the door and telephone. Finish. He can't come in. He can't take anything. I'll ignore him. Not only that, a person has a desire to be kofi toiv. You know, who was it? I think Kirk Douglas once said. He lent somebody money. He said, listen, try and pay me back. But if you don't pay me back, don't hate me for lending you the money. This is a case where the malveh, the one who lent money, can't come into the house. So he has a choice, if he's a real rasha, or doesn't really know what's going, you know, doesn't know the Ratzon Hashem, he ignores him. We're laying way outside in the rain and the cold. No, so the posuk. B'chutz tamud bo isha shen loishaboy. If he's a mensch, yotzi lecha esavoit, to bring the avoit outside. If he's a mensch, he'll bring it outside. Because a mensch appreciates what somebody else did for him, he acknowledges it, and he continues to be loyal to the person who helped him. V'im ish onihu. And if he's an ish oni, if he's a mensch, and even if he's an oni, he'll give back the pyjamas every night during the day. That's halacha. You can't keep the person's pyjamas for the night. You've got to give back the pyjamas during the day. And each day he'll give it back. That takes menschlichkeit. It takes an ish. It takes a mensch to acknowledge that someone did you a favor. And therefore, because you lent me money, I will help you take what you're entitled to. It's ish, it's menschlichkeit. So again, we've seen so far. Number one, we've seen the idea of yifas toya, that Kodesh Baruch Hu has given you success. He's made you win a war. And therefore, he's allowed you to live, and you don't get rid of your fast toya. You don't throw her out. You don't get rid of her out of your life. You don't get rid of this Yetzirah, you end up with a Ben Sayra Moira. That's what the Zlaima Torah. The next part was, Ramesha says, and why can't I sell her? Why can't I, you know, why can't I treat her as a Shivchal? Because you had a relationship with her. Appreciate that. Acknowledge that. Treat her with respect because of it. I may sell her the Zara, that's not your problem. Your problem is, your idea, your obligation is to be a mensch. And then here we find as well, Yaakov Kamenetsky says, when marriage is all about treating a person mamish like you. Loyalty. Connecting to an extent where you actually are one. And there, here as well, we find by the lending of money, when it comes to Ben Adam L'Chaveira, in simple ideas, it's menschlichkeit to acknowledge somebody lent you money, and therefore help him along with his rights. But let's move on to a very, very interesting din over here. This din of acknowledgement, this din of valuing loyalty, does not only apply to human beings. There are two mitzvahs in this week's parasha that deal with not with human beings. One of them is Shluach HaKein. Let's start with Shluach HaKein. The Pasuk says in Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Vav and Pasuk Zayin, Ki yikare kan tzipor lefenecha baderech. If it happens, you have a kein tzipor, you have a nest. B'chol eitz el ha'aretz, efreichim oy beitzim. If you have efreichim oy beitzim, do you have it there? Yeah? Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Vav. Efreichim oy beitzim. Efreichim are little birds. Oy beitzim. Oy beitzim or eggs. For her aim revetzes. I would say for aim revetzes alehem. On them. What does the Pasuk say? For aim revetzes ale freichim ale beitzim. And the mother is hovering on a freichim ale beitzim. Why this repetition? He just says, you have a freichim ale beitzim, aim revetzes alehem. On them. What's the aim revetzes ale freichim ale beitzim? Why this repetition? Says the Pasuk, don't take them, shalech to shalach esa'im, send away the mother with bonin tikach lochem and yitav loch l'arach to yomim. What's going on over here? Why does this bird get special treatment? Let's understand this carefully. Is there any issa to trap birds? Of course not. Let's say the bird is not on this nest. No issa to trap a bird. Nothing wrong with trapping a bird. When the bird is hovering over a nest and the wings are attached, as it were, mamish, like touching the nest, can't take it. Why are you giving this bird such immunity? Why are you looking after this bird so much? Why? Why does it deserve it? Everywhere else, a bird and an animal have the same halachas. I don't know, with regard to kisui hadam, with halachas of chelev. Suddenly a bird over here, psh, no, you can't touch it. Why? You know what, and 10 minutes later it goes for a bit of a fly around, and then I can catch it. What's the deal? What's going on over here? Says as Zayin Torah, there is something unique about a bird that is not found by any other animal. Every animal has an instinct to look after their young. Any animal has an instinct to look after their young. Okay, some animals have a very strange way of looking after young, but they have an instinct, right? There's one particular thing with a bird which is different. A bird is ready to look after its young even before it sees that there is young there. I don't know, for example, a lion. A lion will look after a little cub once you see a little cub. So the lion associates a cub with himself. A bird is willing to look after an egg, which is not their young, which is no shaykhus to who they are. They don't see themselves a little themselves in the nest. They don't see a little mini themselves. They just see a white little thing which has no shaykhus to who they are. And yet they're willing and loyal to this egg to the extent that a bird can sit there for weeks. For weeks they can sit there, keeping this bird protected, keeping it warm. Sometimes starving themselves to look after the egg even before it turns into a chick. That's unbelievable dedication to the young. That's unbelievable loyalty to one's own family. Says the Torah, look at this. Efreichim oibeitim. Va'em revetzal efreichim ala beitim. Not only on the efreichim of the mother is the mother hovering on. Even on beitim, the mother, even on eggs, there is no shaychus. The mother doesn't even see themselves within the thing. There's still this loyalty. Says the Pasuk, you know what? You can't take the bird. If the mother is there, if the mother is there and she's being moisa nefesh for looking after her family, don't take advantage of her. You can easily grab her now. She's got this instinct looking after her young. Says the Torah, no. Respect that. She's there. You know why? She could be caught. She could be killed, but she's willing to stay over her young. Respect that. Don't use it to your advantage. Don't grab the mother now because she's protecting her young. You have no right to do that. Respect that. Respect the fact of loyalty. Respect the fact of families looking after each other. Or acknowledge the fact that this is greatness. And therefore, if the mother can be easily grabbed, can be chapped, you have no right. You have no right to take the mother. You send the mother away, and then you can take the birds. But don't take the good middos of the mother to your advantage. And that is a lesson of Ken Tzipor, that you've got to respect nature even when it has its loyalty. And the hefech, the exact mirror opposite, is another mitzvah in this week's parasha. Okay. Almost. Look in Perek Chof Gimel, Pasuk Yutes. Rabbi, so do you understand why I love this Nine Torah? Yeah, such posh to the Torah, it makes. You look at the parasha completely different. You listen to the parasha, there's Nine Torah. Perek Chof Gimel, Pasuk Yutes. Sorry?
Where can we buy a copy?
Halavai. Loisavi, listen to this din. Loisavi esnan zoyna umechir kelev beis Hashem alekecho. Do not bring an esnan zoyna umechir kelev. Do not, what's an esnan zoyna? A woman of ill repute. Yes? She received payment for an illicit act. So she cannot bring her korban. Let's say she received a sheep for her korban. She can't bring the sheep as a korban to Rabbein Shleilam. You know what? That makes perfect sense. Ramesha says you can't pay Hashem off. You know, you've got some drug money, or you know, you've got a racket there. Don't take your money and build a shul. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want it. Yeah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want it. Don't take your Esnan Zayna and bring a korban. Hashem has got enough korbanos. Don't need it. That makes perfect sense. Carries on the Pasuk. Umechir Kelev. Neither does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want a Mechir Kelev. What's a Mechir Kelev? Reuven has a dog. Shimon has a sheep. Yeah? So Shimon gives his sheep to Reuven for Reuven's dog. So now Reuven has a sheep. Right? So they switched a sheep for a dog. You can't take that sheep now to the Beis Hamikdash to bring it up as a korban. I'm not talking bringing up a dog. I'm bringing up a sheep. And the sheep will swap for a dog. You can't bring that over. Why? Both of them are te'eva, an abomination. Do you understand this mitzvah? Do you understand that? What's so wrong with bringing up a swapped sheep for a dog? What is so wrong with that? Te'eva is abomination. Gam shneihem, just as bad. An esnan, a zoino, bringing her korban to Beis Hamikdash is as bad as a person swapping the dog for a sheep and bringing that sheep to the Beis Hamikdash. What's so bad about that? So don't to upset anybody in any way, but the Zayin HaTorah says that anything connection with a dog is disgusting. Okay, the fact that a dog is inhospitable, it scares away people coming to your home if they're mushalachim. The amount of money that is wasted feeding a dog, the amount of time that is wasted looking after a dog, you know. Do that for chesed for your family. Do it for chesed outside. He said that is disgusting. That's a te'eva. It's a te'eva. Ayin shom. Okay? I don't upset anyone who has a dog. But it's te'eva. That's what he brings over there. But he says much deeper about. Listen to this carefully. It's so beautiful. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the right to man to have complete shlita over animals. It's called human rights. Yeah? In Torah there's no animal rights. It's called human rights. A man has a right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given the right over everybody. The Pasuk says, what's the Pasuk say in Bereishis? The Pasuk says in Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Yad Kol, but yeah, in other words, not exactly the Pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the rights to the whole Klal, gave the rights to mankind to look after animals. He had to be in charge of animals. In other words, a man has a right, obviously not for Baal Tashchis, But man has a right, if he needs, to kill an animal for his own purposes, to eat an animal. That's what man has a right. So now the animal kingdom has to deal with that, correct? Animal kingdom has to deal with that. And therefore there are two philosophies in the animal kingdom. How do we deal with the fact that human beings are allowed to kill us? There are two schools of thought within the animal world. One school of thought are the wild animals. The wild animals decided, you know what? If people, human beings can kill us at their will, let's keep away from them. Let's run away. Let's live out in the jungles. Let's live out in the wild. Let's live far away from them as possible. Who's going to support them? Who's going to feed them? We'll feed ourselves. It's not very pleasant. Go live outside in the freezing cold, in the boiling hot. Fine. But we do not want to be under man. We'll keep away. If man hunts us, we'll run away as fast as we can. We'll hide. We'll try and protect ourselves. But we are living ourselves. We don't need man. That is one school of thought. The wild animals. Another school of thought, or what we call the domesticated animals. Basically, the animals said, you know what? Let's make peace. Let's make peace with man. That way, we have a home. We're fed every day. We're looked after. We have a roof over our head. You know what? We've prepared food. And you know, we'll give something back. A cow will give some milk. There are risks, no doubt. I may look very tasty. You may want to make a steak out of me. But at the end of the day, I have a very nice life. You know, I've got success. You know, I've got very much easier life. I am where I am. So that's the domesticated animals. Yeah, the chickens, they lay their eggs. Fine, may float in soup one day. But time being, let's not think about that. We're quite happy where we are. So you have two schools of thought. You have the domesticated animals and the wild animals. The dog. The dog. What's a dog? The dog is an animal. Very, very rare to have wild dogs. A dog is an animal that says, you know what? I'll go to my master. I'll bring him his slippers. Yeah, I'll lick him all over. Stand up as if I'm mummish. Kiss him all over. Mummish. Unbelievable relationship with man and dog. Kolev. Everything. Wonderful. And I'm mummish, I'll look after him beautifully. And the man will love me. And you know what? He'll give me some steak. He'll give me a big bowl of pedigree chum. Who knows? Right? Wonderful life. What does man do in order to maximize his rights over the animal kingdom? He doesn't kill his own animals. I can use a cow for milk. I can use a sheep for wool and milk. So what does he do? He goes out to the wild. And he goes hunting. He goes and hunts deer. He goes and hunts a deer. Traps a deer. Fantastic. Therefore, I haven't brought up the deer. I didn't spend money on raising it. But I have the ability now to eat it and to enjoy it and to get the benefits of both worlds. Great. What does a dog do? A dog is the weaker one. He has said to the man, you know what? I'll lick your toes. I'll lick your feet. I'll bring you your slippers. I'll kiss you all over. I'm one of you. Yeah, I'm one of you. Now he goes out, the man can't find his animals out when he's hunting. The dog goes and sniffs out the animals for him. This poor deer has run and hid. This dog finds, chases it and sniffs it out. And he barks and calls a man to find this deer. This deer is doing what he's doing. He's trying to live it up rough. Yeah, and he's nice and effish with his ideals. Fine, he's entitled to it. This dog is a traitor to animal world. Respect this deer. He's got different school of thought to you. He's a tough guy, right? You're coming along for the sake of your steak you're getting later, and you're showing where the deer is. You're showing an animal where an animal is for the sake of a human being. You're a traitor. That's a te'evo. That's disgusting. I hate dogs. That's what Boyin Shem's saying over here. Where you can have, where you're disloyal to, even disloyal to an animal. You're disloyal to an animal, animal kingdom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says an ape, animal that is disloyal to his own species, to animals, is a te'evo. I want nothing to do with him. And therefore, even, forget about serving up dogs on his be'ach, but even serving up a sheep that will swap for a dog is te'evo, it's disgusting. This parasha is all about loyalty. It's all about acknowledging where you come from. Acknowledging that Rabbi Yishan has given you so much. And that's where the parasha ends, with Amalek. Ramesha asks, why is it so important to remember Amalek? It's a mitzvah deraisa of remembering Amalek. There's no Amalek today. There's no Amalek today. Who's Amalek? Who? It's Yanin. Well, Who's the Malik? Ashakoch Madarach, by Neachlechol, this is on tape, yeah? Tishkoch, you mustn't forget. What's the idea behind this? Why is the whole Issa the Bechir to remember and the Deraisa? What's going on here? Says Ramosha is to remind you how far one can go and one can forget or decide to forget reality. Who do you have a Malik who left Mitzrayim? They saw Klal Yisrael is loved by the Rebbein Shleilam. They saw Kosh Baruch Hu doing Nissim. And you know what? We'll go make war anyway. A person can see Rebbein Shleilam is giving him such Shefa and he can turn his back on the Rebbein Shleilam and say, I want nothing to do with you. That is what the Malik is teaching us. And that is beginning and the end of the parasha. Ki seitzen ha-mochom ha-alevecho. Unasomai Hashem alekecho biyadecho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you so much. You're going out to war. You're going out to fight the Yetzer Hara. What's the tactic? What is the weapons we have to fight the Yetzer Hara? Remember, Unasomai Hashem alekecho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you Safta Dishmai. He gave you help. And that's the beginning of the parasha. And the parasha goes all the way through, teaching us to acknowledge the chesed the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us. And the end of the parasha finishes, Lo Tishkoch, do not remember, do not forget. Do not forget what Rebbein Shlom did for you, because otherwise we are Molik. Otherwise we can just turn our back and forget everything, and Rachman Litzlan become somebody who has no connection. Other Rabba, be connected, realize everything for Rebbein Shlom, and Be'ezus Hashem will have Tshuva Be'ava, where even our Avoinus becomes Zachuyus.